Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
If you're working at the minimum wage, are you mediocre? Well, one deli owner thinks so. What's preventing low-wage earners from getting vaccinated? Can we say PTO? And today on the show, the latest from the American Federation of Government Employees and the bricklayers in the Southeast. Welcome to the Wednesday, August 18th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. All right, we have two guests on the show today. We're going to kick things off with Willie Haywood Jr. Been on the show many, many times. Great guy. Retired from the VA, 30 years at the Lou Stokes VA Medical Center in Cleveland. And during that time, he held a number of union positions during his career. Currently, Willie is president of the 6th District NVAC. That's the National Veteran Affairs Council 262. And a number of things we're going to get into. President Biden's two important nominations to the Federal Labor Relations Authority, the FLRA. And this is posted on the AFGE national website, afge.org. This is significant because it's going to bring an end to the Trump-appointed majority there. And the FLRA is kind of like the NLRB for the private sector. And during that time, it was bad, bad, bad. Trump imposed anti-worker contracts at several agencies, including the Department of Education, the EPA, Social Security, prohibited employees from using official time to encourage their coworkers to contact members of Congress to share their views on important issues like workplace safety in the middle of a pandemic, working conditions, decisions that restricted the bargaining rights of unions. So that is good news. We're also going to talk about the executive orders that are being reversed by President Biden. And he's also going to talk about the late, great Richard Trumka, who passed away almost 2 weeks ago. Rich, president of the AFL-CIO. And we'll talk about the vaccine, what's going on, especially in the VA. There was a story last week that the Department of Veteran Affairs expanded its COVID-19 vaccine mandate to apply to most Veterans Health Administration employees, volunteers, and contractors who work in or visit veteran facilities. So Willie Hayward's our first guest. Glenn Kelly will be joining us later in the show. Glenn is president of the bricklayers and allied craft workers in the Southeast. We're talking Georgia, North and South Carolina. And this is a union that is committed, and I mean committed, to rebuilding the construction industry in the South. And if you go to their website, you can read a whole lot about what they're doing, how they're doing it. And in the midst of a pandemic, they're explaining to their members that if some employees on site have tested positive for the virus, that they need to be in quarantine. And we're going to get into details on this because it's pretty significant. There's been a kind of tug of war going on with this vaccine, as you well know. There's some people that feel they don't need it. And then you're seeing more and more. I just mentioned the VA facility saying, if you're not vaccinated and you don't have proof that you're vaccinated, we're not going to let you either work here or come in. Concert goers are seeing that happen around the country. So we're going to get into it, especially with Glenn Kelly, on how that's affecting his members. And a little background on the union. Their agreement, their CBA, has up-to-date language with no hidden clauses. All negotiations that they handle are done in what they call a pleasant and cordial manner, as it should be. The goal is to think outside of the box. If it can be done legally, we'll find a way to make it work. Let us show you how to turn a bigger profit by joining an American family tradition and be able to hire the best hands in the business to man your jobs. That's the outreach to contractors who are thinking about and should be working with the bricklayers and allied craft workers. So we'll get in all of that with Glenn Kelly as our second guest here on the show. Well, check this story out. A deli in Florida has drawn swift backlash after posting a hiring notice that called minimum wage workers mediocre people. Now, what's the minimum wage in America? In case you don't know, it's still $7.25 an hour. It has been that way since 2009. Well, you think about how prices have gone up, and that is just stuck in the mud. Well, here's the story. Hiring notice for Jason's Deli. I guess they have several, but this is a location in Melbourne, Florida. And the notice went viral after a Twitter user posted a photo of it Sunday, writing, "Saw this at a deli in town. This really doesn't sit right with me." The sign notes that the deli is hiring for all positions and reads, "Minimum wage equals mediocre person." That's right. The sign also details expectations for workers at various levels of its pay scale. The deli says $9 an hour, which is a little bit over the minimum wage, is for workers who are in their first job and willing to learn. For workers who have some experience, well, they'll pay you $10 an hour. Staff making $11 an hour should be reliable and multitaskers. For $12 an hour, the deli expects that an employee works like two people. At that hourly wage, the deli also wants workers to be better than most and bring zero drama into the workplace. That's $12 an hour. The sign says workers making $13 an hour should be supervisory material. At $14 an hour, the deli wants a worker who cares like the owner does and brings positivity to the environment. And for $15 an hour or more, the deli expects an employee who outshines and outperforms the owner. Well, needless to say, the location was bombarded with one-star Google reviews after that tweet went viral. One reviewer wrote, "Stay away if you want a job that respects you." Another wrote, "They refer to the minimum wage and minimum wage employees as mediocre people, and they're wondering why nobody wants to work there." Well, screw the owners. Do yourself a favor and don't support this terrible business. And another reviewer said, "Just pay your workers." Meanwhile, lack of paid sick leave is preventing low-wage workers from getting vaccinated against COVID-19. That according to a Kaiser Family Foundation survey that found that 2 out of 10 unvaccinated workers said they would be more likely to get vaccinated if their employer gave them paid time off to do so. Failure to provide paid leave also, according to the survey, disproportionately impacts low-wage workers who are already at greater risk of getting the virus. Daisy Baraspi manages a vaccine clinic in Oakland, and she said it's a big deal. It's either miss work, get the vaccine, or continue to go to work to keep up with your paycheck. That reasoning rang true for Zachary Livingston. Zachary manages a Subway. Zachary's getting $35,000 a year and is not insured. He said he would have gotten vaccinated months ago if he had paid sick leave. 40 window cleaners in Minneapolis are striking for higher pay, better health care, and a state-certified apprenticeship program to improve safety. They are members of SEIU Local 26. After the workers' contract with three companies expired last year, the companies decided they didn't want to give them anything, and they pushed back negotiations for a year, and They're now refusing to set a date for bargaining, according to bargaining team member Eric Crone. Now, prior to the postponement, management had verbally agreed to create a fully funded apprenticeship program, reduce family health care premiums from $400 a month to $200, raise pay $2 an hour in the first year and 50 cents to a dollar each year for the remainder of a three-year contract. Well, in the lead up to the strike, which members authorize unanimously, one company agreed to the union's proposals, but the two others offered a contract that didn't touch the apprenticeship or health care demands and offered wage increases well below what the union had proposed. Now, this comes a year of very dangerous work in an already dangerous industry. Four members of that local died from COVID-19, and over 1,000 were exposed to the virus at work and were forced to take unpaid time off. Here we go again, said Crone. For them to look us in the face and tell us that we didn't deserve a little extra after working in these hazardous conditions while they got to work from home was completely infuriating. Can you blame them? I don't think so. And one more here. A new report released this week by the Economic Policy Institute reveals that CEO compensation has grown by more than 1,300% since 1978, shattering the dismal 18% growth in a typical worker's annual compensation during the same time period. In just one year between 2019 and 2020, as the pandemic raged and millions of Americans were thrown out of work, CEO compensation skyrocketed nearly 20%. Now, if you go back to 1965, CEO to worker compensation, the ratio was 21 to 1. 21 to 65, 56 years ago. Last year, 351 to 1. Something wrong in America. All right, we have to break. When we come back, our segment with the American Federation of Government Employees.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Area Labor Federation, part of the AFL-CIO. Let's go to line number one Welcome. Almost a regular here on behalf of the American Federation of Government Employees. Love this guy. Willie Haywood Jr. Willie is president of the 6th District National Veteran Affairs Council. And that's all the locals in the 6th District. We're talking about Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. Big territory in the Midwest. Hey, Willie, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon, Ed. Hey, good to be back. Good hearing from you again.
All right. We should point out that Willie represents the National Veterans Affairs Councils. He's president of 262, which is all the locals in the 6th District, big territory, Indiana, Kentucky, as well as Ohio. Lots of good news we want to share with our listeners about growing membership, Biden's executive orders reversing what the former president did. But first, you wanted to give your condolences to Rich Trumka's family. I'll tell you, that shocked so many people in the world of labor. I'd like to hear what you have to say about the late, great Rich Trumka. Go ahead, Willie.
Well, yes, the National VA Council and National AFGE, we would like to give our condolences to Richard Trumka family because, he was a big icon among us. He attended all our major functions. He was a very instrumental speaker, very powerful speaker. He rejuvenated us, and he was very, very important in our organization. He's going to be missed very, very deeply among AFGE, both national and at the National VA Council. And again, we want to give our condolences to the family.
Well, thank you. I'm sure they're appreciative of what you just said here. And speaking of Trumka, I just want to call attention to our show tomorrow. We're going to be checking in with John Nichols of The Nation magazine. And John wrote a really, really extraordinarily good piece on what Trumka did from the get-go, growing up in the mines, working as president. I mean, he was the youngest president of the mine workers and then leading the AFL-CIO since 2009. So just want to call attention to that show. Well, let's talk about what has happened here. When Biden took office, things started changing for the better, I might add. And you wanted to call attention to the executive orders that reversed what our former president did. And we're talking about restoring union rights. So why don't you just get into that, and maybe you can tell us how that change is affecting the workers, especially in the VA. Go ahead, Willie.
Okay, when President Biden came into office, he did came out with Executive Order 14003 on January the 22nd, 2021. And this revoked all of former President Trump's executive orders, as we called it, handcuffing the union. If you recall, this Trump's executive orders took away all official time to majority of the union officials. It took the time away exactly from the pure title to 38 union officials, who were mostly your doctors, your RNs, psychiatrists, and people that are within them occupations. And he also put in a third executive order, which kicked us out the union office also. And if you stayed within the facility, you had to pay rent, or the local unions had to either find space off station and pay rent themselves. So it really hampered us. And in that series, he even put in his pick individuals on the Federal Labor Relations authorities, which also reversed some union busting policy as far as union dues for members. No, they changed that in order to try to stop members from being joining the union when they came aboard as far as new hires. So it was pretty problematic for us, and we had to figure out different ways to represent the bargaining union employees. But we hung in there until the final election came to elect President Biden to help us reverse some of these orders.
Willie, if you don't mind, I just want to go back. You mentioned the Federal Labor Relations Authority that that now has the right people on board. This is an agency that was created by the 1978 Civil Service Reform Act, allowing federal employees, allowing federal employees to join a union and collectively negotiate with their agencies on issues affecting working conditions. Their job is to implement the law, follow the law, and promote effective labor management relations. It's not to come down on the unions, okay? Federal employee unions go to the FLRA to challenge agencies' unfair labor practices, or ULPs as they call them, and follow their own policies. I mean, that's what it's all about. So we're basically following the law as a result of what President Biden has done here. This is a new day at the VA and all government agencies. How's morale now, Willie? I mean, I know some of these changes took a little bit of time. Biden's been in office for well over 6 months now, but what are you hearing so far?
Well, morale has picked up quite drastically now. As you stated, it was down during them times under the Trump administration. But morale has picked up, and we even have union growth that even picked up since the Biden's executive orders have reversed all of former President Trump's orders. So morale is picking up, and like you said, it's taking time to heal, but we're getting around. We're coming around on this.
Good. What about hiring at the VA? Because it's my understanding it's still understaffed. I don't know to what degree. I know nationally at one time it was like a shortage of 50,000 employees. What do you know? I know you could probably speak to your council, your 262 that you represent in the Midwest. What do we know about that, Willie?
The hiring has not changed drastically that much. Because number one, the veterans hiring process is a long and lengthy process. We have complained about this process as far as bringing people aboard in the department in different positions, but it really has not changed that much. They are still understaffed in a lot of areas.
All right, what needs to be done on that? Do they have to change the process itself, or are they just trying to vet the candidates so they get the best people in there? What do we know about that?
Well, the vet portion is they try to get the best people in there, but they need to change that process also as far as the time to get the individuals vetted in and checking their credentials and things of that nature like that. And plus, as far as, let's say, bargaining unit employees coming into the trades or different areas, as far as housekeeping, everything, it depends on the facilities, how the HR staffing is on board. And HR really has a big problem as far as hiring individuals. That is where the problem lies at. HR.
Okay, very good. Willie, I got to take a quick break here. Willie Haywood Jr. joining us. Willie is currently the president of the 6th District National Veteran Affairs Council 262 that represents all locals in the 6th District, Indiana, Kentucky, as well as Ohio. We're going to talk about organizing next. It's been a record year for organizing. I'll tell you, pockets of organizing from various unions that are reporting to us. Amazing what's going on right now. All good news. Glenn Kelly is going to be joining us as our second guest, and he comes from the bricklayers in the southeast part of the country. We're talking Georgia, North, and South Carolina, all right-to-work states. And we're going to talk about how difficult it is to navigate because of right-to-work laws. That's just one of the things we're going to discuss. Back in a few minutes. You're listening to America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
Yeah.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover?
Not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Now, back to America's workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Willie Haywood Jr. Willie, president of the 6th District National Veterans Affairs Council, 262. I want to get into organizing. There's a couple things you wanted to mention about those executive orders that were reversed by President Biden and also Title 38. Willie, let's cover those. Let's start off with the executive orders. What did you want to say about those again?
Well, when the executive orders were initiated, you know, the Department of Veterans Affairs did drag their feet as far as being compliant, but eventually they did. But one segment was the Title 38 employee still wasn't able to do representational duties. But they finally broke in afterwards, and we had a couple of big wins on that as far as contract being renegotiated from 2011. It's going to be a rollover instead of going over every single article that was in the master agreement. They're only going to go over 6 articles. And during that process time, that it was decided that all Title 38 employees will have full representational duty rights. So that was a big win here recently for the union.
Very good. Anything else on the radar that needs to be fixed here that basically popped up during the Trump administration?
Well, basically, everything been pretty much so, let's say, corrected. Even the Performance Improvement Plan, which is better known as the PIP, in union world, where the management had to give the employee a reasonable time to improve, during the Accountability Act, which was passed under the Trump administration, did not allow that. The management could fire you right off the bat, pertaining to performance issues. So that's been also corrected. So, like I said, it's been a good time for us, and we're gradually, getting things back to normal.
Good, good. Very good to hear. All right, let's talk about organizing. I've been reading on your website that you showed for the first time some membership gains. And I know, again, we're going back to some rough years there when you had a president that was coming down on the union. And you broke some records in 2019 and going into 2020. Talk to me about that. What's going on here with the organizing?
Well, overturn of the Trump executive orders, members now can attend and hold regularly what we call lunch and learns, can now be more active on station recruiting new members. We also have the ability now to be present during new employee orientations, which is conducted on a monthly basis at all the facilities at the medical centers, which the union supposed to be present when new employees are being hired in order to let them know that there is a union here and what their rights are. So those been ongoing activities that have been conducted throughout the VA and National VA Council. So that is one of the reasons why we have good union growth within the last months here.
Now, what's the game plan moving forward? Do you have a goal as far as how many you want to bring into the union right now? Can you speak to that?
Well, I don't know the exact particular numbers, but I know as far as the National VA Council-wise, we are coming up with different initiatives to have different locals participate throughout the nation as far as who recruit the most employees. They be handled, awarded some type of way as far as to show their appreciation of how they are really recruiting new members back into the fold.
Well, Willie, it's certainly good to hear, and I've often said this on the show, there's a new sheriff in town. That sheriff is President Joe Biden, and we're seeing a sea change of organizing, not just with the American Federation of Government Employees, but so many unions. I had John Schlois of the News Guild on Monday, and they had a record year in the last year. They organized almost 1,600 new members, and obviously with those executive orders reversed, you're paving the way over there. Biden has paved the way for more members to join the American Federation of Government Employees, which nationally has like over 500,000 members right now. All good stuff, and it's all happening because of people like Willie Haywood Jr. Willie, president of the National Veteran Affairs Council 262. Anything else you want to add here before we button it up, brother?
Well, I just want to tell everybody, that there's still some mountains or hurdles we still have to jump over, and we're going to accomplish them. And I'd like to say there's a new sheriff in town, we're going to prevail on the rest of our little issues that we have to cross over. And I want to thank you for the time for me to be on podcast to tell everybody that we're going to prevail one way or another.
Amen. All right, buddy. You take care. Stay safe, and we'll talk down the road, okay?
Same. Me too now. Be safe.
All right. For the national website, just go to afge.org, afge.org. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Glenn Kelly is president of the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers out of the Southeast. That's Council 8. Representing Georgia, North, and South Carolina. And he's coming up next. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Multiple sclerosis is trying to shut people down. That's what it does. MS disrupts signals, divides minds from bodies, pulls us from our lives and away from each other. MS destroys connections, so it's only fitting that connections would be its greatest enemy. Because as more connections form, maybe more questions will lead to more answers. Maybe more understanding will lead to more resources. Maybe more people sharing what they've lived through will lead to better lives. And if everyone touched by this disease, every person with MS, every family affected by it, every doctor treating it, and every individual who hears what this disease does, combine their efforts and knowledge and hope, then maybe the connections we make can become more powerful than the connections MS destroys. MS kills connection. Connection kills MS. Give what you know at msconnection.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. And you can find more at oh.aft.org, AFT standing for the American Federation of Teachers. And in fact, we had Melissa Cropper, president of the Ohio Federation, on the show yesterday talking about getting back to school and the fact that a lot of teachers, most of them are vaccinated, and there's still a tug of war going on with masks in schools. Not so much in the state of Ohio, but in certainly the southern states. Before we get to Glenn Kelly, just want to mention, and I always like to talk about some good news happening about like organizing. This one is coming from the Del Sol Medical Center in El Paso, Texas. Registered nurses there have approved by an overwhelming margin a new collective bargaining agreement with HCA Healthcare, a really large hospital chain that operates the medical centers. The new three-year contract announced by the National Nurses Organizing Committee will strengthen COVID-19 safety measures and provide increased economic security for 650 registered nurses. Got a comment here from one of the RNs, Juan Ancondo. It's a very solid contract that addresses significant health and safety protections for nurses as well as patients. These protections have been a high priority following the pandemic crisis our nurses and our community have gone through over the last year. The ratification follows a tentative agreement at actually two medical centers in Brownsville, Texas, and new contracts in recent weeks at HCA hospitals in Florida and North Carolina. Good news there. And we should point out, we're talking about right-to-work states, union activity happening at right-to-work states. And we're going to touch on that with our next guest, who is on line number two right now, Mr. Glenn Kelly, president of the Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. And we're talking, what is it, Section 8, Local 8? I know it's the Southeast. How does that figure, Glenn?
Yeah, local 8 Southeast. So it's 9 states of the Southeast. Well, 8.5, actually. We only have half of Virginia. So, yeah, local 8 Southeast.
Okay, so you're Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and part of Virginia then? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and Tennessee, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi. And,
okay.
And Florida. If we haven't, how about I miss it?
Okay. Well, maybe you need to update your website. It's definitely a growing area. Good. I like to hear that. Very good. Well, how many members are we talking about in that area?
Right now, you're talking about around 2,400 members in our jurisdiction. But, you know, we're constantly out there recruiting and growing that number, actually.
Good. Well, let's talk about that, because I'm hearing pockets of organizing all around the country. And of course, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. There's two questions here. Let's talk about the safety of our members. Now, how's the safety protocol going on right now with the members and as far as getting the vaccine?
Okay. So obviously, you know, down here in Local 8, we are making sure that our number one priority is our members' health and safety. You know, we're up against you said right the word states at the beginning of this. I mean, we got some governors down here that don't really see eye to eye when it comes out to health and safety of our folks. So it's always challenging, right, when you're trying to push for the best standards for your members. However, we're just making sure that our folks are understanding the guidelines that come out from the CDC and federal guidelines that come out. And so what we're doing is making sure that the folks have, proper PPE, not only the gloves, your hard hat, your safety glasses, and your steel-toe boots or composite-toe boots, but also, mask if you need hand sanitizer, and at least following guidelines like, social distancing as much as they possibly can. And so we're always constantly sending a message out to our members about staying safe. And just, following safety protocols to the best that they can. And we definitely make sure that we are on the bullhorn about that, making sure everybody's trying to stay safe. So, but yeah, it's challenging sometimes when you don't have everybody singing on the same page and, singing the same sheet of music. So.
Well, talk to me about this reduction in force memo that came out here, and it deals with people. Employees, I'm talking about, that test positive for the coronavirus. Now, what happens in a situation like that? Are they put in quarantine? They get paid time off, obviously, because they're in the union. Can you walk us through that, Glenn?
Well, so since we've been, everybody's kind of had fatigue on the, everybody's got COVID fatigue, right? Even the contractors, even our members. And so what the problem is right now is, certain projects are paying the folks when they're off. Like, I got a job right now where I got a whole crew out, and they're paying the folks while they're out. But however, we do have some of the ones in the private sector, some of our other jobs with non-government or project labor agreement has already got some good standards in there that if a guy has to go out or if somebody's around them has to go out, then they're not paying them on somewhere. So I'm always – it's a constant battle to talk to the contractors about trying to take care of these folks because, it's just hard right now. A lot of people don't want to go to work right now. It's hard in recruiting right now. I think this is something that's not going on with us, but even on a national level, in a regional level where we are. And so, in all sectors of work. So I've had some conversations with contractors about, recruitment and trying to get people to come to work, but folks are looking at, do they care about me? Right. That's what these new young, especially our younger members, do they care about me? And so, to speak to you, it's a job by job basis on who's paying folks while they're out or not. Most of the contractors have kind of been open to paying the folks. They had a lot of PPP loans and all that stuff to help out with that last year. And so this year, some of them are taking it on the chin, we'll take care of them. And so it's just, like I said, a case by case basis with some of these contracts, but we've been able to kind of convince some of them that the numbers are very, very low of folks being out, for that 2-week time frame or whatever, or 10 days. Now they've changed some of the, guidelines. If a person's negative or whatever, then it's been pretty much easier to try to get the contract to say, look, let's take care of this. Let's take care of these folks. They've been working for you. They're making you money. Let's do that. Let's do the right thing.
Well, you represent, as you indicated, a pretty large territory, and some states are more friendly when it comes to their jobless benefits than others. But in a lot of these states, I mean, they're in the South and they're right-to-work states. Is that a difficult process? And they're not getting very much money on unemployment, are they?
No, you know, it's funny you said that. I'm glad you bring that up. It's an interesting topic because some of the states have basically, most of the states in my jurisdiction have basically slashed benefits. So the extra unemployment that the federal government was kind of helped subsidizing, a lot of us have cut it, you know. And it's not just, you know, Republican or even red states. Even my Democrat, or my one Democratic governor just slashed it. I just found out, you know, over Louisiana. So, you know, and I think folks are just thinking that that's going to be a way to get people back to work. I don't know if that's going to work or not. However, we're for the worker, right? And so, we do have a number of states that have slashed that extra unemployment. And I tell you, you know, if you ask me, has it made a difference in bringing people and people from coming back to work, whether they, you know, that stops them or not? Not really. I think folks are still kind of, you know, a little bit, you know, fatigued, or some of them just basically scared, or, you know, they don't want to go back to work right now. And I see right now our hours, you know, have really not rebounded from last year. Rebounded some, you know, a little bit, but I still see a lag here in the number of folks that's working. So yeah, that unemployment is actually having a effect in a negative way, right? Our members are like, look, why are we being penalized for folks who don't want to go to work? Some of us can't go to work, right? And so that's the argument you sometimes have, so often have.
Glenn, let's talk about your training programs and organizing apprenticeships. How are the apprenticeship programs doing, especially now with the pandemic still raging around America? And you're in the area where there's some hot spots. So how's everybody faring?
So I'll tell you, like right in Nashville right now, we're having a pre-job. You know, we got about 8 students in there. We usually have about 10 to 12 to maybe upwards of 15 students in that pre-job going through it. Obviously, with the pandemic, we'll try to scale that down, you know, just to be on the safe side. But, you know, applicants actually have fluctuated. You know, we usually have a huge amount of applicants. I saw that drop off over the last year and a half, you know, of people wanting to get into the pre-job in that area. Over in Orlando, we have a lot of folks coming in. You know, we have a lot of apprentices coming in right now and working in some of our industrialized work and our refractory work, you know, and that seems to be pretty good. And out at Disney, too, so, you know, areas like that. And so it just, you know, it all depends right now what area they're in. We haven't really seen a real, real bad problem. You know, one thing we have seen a problem with is recruitment on folks that do want to go to work. You know, you get a lot of people that want to go. Then I think once they kind of work a little bit here and there and figure out what there is in the construction field, some of them, you know, it may not be what, you know, something that they pretty much thought it would be. So, but in terms of the apprenticeship, I mean, it's not bad actually right now. I mean, we're steadily recruiting. Folks listening to this interview, you know, hopefully if you're in Nashville, Augusta, Georgia, Orlando, you know, and even Norfolk, Virginia, where some of our major hubs right now that are booming, and even Birmingham, Alabama, is actually doing some pretty good things. And over in New Orleans and Baton Rouge area, then, hey, we're definitely recruiting. We definitely could take some people in the different trades, concrete finishers, you know, bricklayers over in Nashville, concrete finishers over in the Augusta, Georgia area, marble setters, actually, over in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and even refractory work in the Birmingham and the Louisiana area. So it's opportunity right now. If folks want to, you know, get a good career in a trade, especially in the BAC, we definitely could take some right now.
So, Glenn, what's your advice here? I mean, we're nationally podcast on 5 platforms. What's the website they should go to get some more information on the programs?
They can look, you know, a lot of people probably Google BAC Local 8 Southeast .org or BAC Local 8 Southeast. And that will be SE on the back of that. And check us out, you know. We're constantly bringing people in. They can always look on our website. We have our phone numbers for all our reps, even training coordinators. We usually send a newsletter out to all our membership about what's going on and keeping them regular updates twice a year of what's going on in the local. So, I mean, there's opportunities there. If they want to go to www.theaclocal8southeast.org. They can look at that. So, you know, and then, you know, always feel free to call. And I'll even, you know, I don't mind giving my phone number, 706-945-9309. Definitely give me a call and I can get in touch with the right people. You know, and I'll tell you, you know, that's one of the major things right now. We actually, to be honest with you, we have a lot of people retiring. They're taking advantage of, you know, what's going on right now. I'm not going to say they're taking advantage of it, but a lot of people just, older members are kind of figuring that, hey, you know, I just want to go ahead and go out. You know, these are some trying times right now. And so that's what's creating a backfield. I mean, right now I got a couple folks that retired and they're in supervision. And I'm actually looking for some good, you know, young apprentices that have opportunities to become foremen right now, right? They you can move from an apprenticeship program. They can learn how to be a good tradesman or man or woman, and they can actually move into supervision now. And so the thing is, opportunities are there. You know, normally people will say I got to wait a long time before I'm able to at least get some type of leadership role. Well, now they're looking for leadership people now. So, and it's good that that the young folks are now being able to get in and try to start learning from some of the more seasoned trades people out there and learn to trade and continue to carry it on, right? And that's the big thing right now.
Well, I appreciate you giving your phone number. I have some advice for you. Clean your voicemail out, all right? Because you're going to get some calls.
Well, I tell you what, it's funny you said that. So here's the thing. Lately, I have been getting a ton of calls, and now I'm actually at the airport. Now I'm going to clean them out before I get on the plane. But I tell you, man, once I land, I bet you they'll be full again. Right now, I got so many jobs going on right now, buddy. So I had one of my buddies say, look, man, you need to get your Apple product. At least you can get unlimited, right? I'm like, oh, man. Unlimited. So, but anyway, it's funny to say that. But no, I appreciate that. I'll definitely get that cleaned up, man. I had several calls. I had a lot of meetings last night, but that's no excuse. I'll definitely get that. So, you know, and then again, you can always shoot me a text as well. I know a lot of people now into the texting. And then my email address is gkelly@bacsoutheast.org. You know, if folks want to email or find out opportunities, you know, I know people normally don't do that. But, you know, we're in a time right now where times are different, right? And you got to get out there. Yeah. People are not running to the doors right now. We got to go out there and meet them where they are. And that's what we're doing right now with contractors, with potential members. You know, the contractors right now in the non-union world, some of them are actually being more apt to working with us now because they can't find the people. They don't have the good qualified training that we have, state-of-the-art training, that trains the best hands in the business. So that's kind of created opening for us. So, like I said, you know, if someone wants a career in the BAC, hey, definitely reach out to us, and I'll get you in touch with one of my reps. I got reps all across the 9-state jurisdiction, so, you know.
Well, I'm going to give your cell out again. It's 706-945-9309, 706-945-9309. Glenn is on fire here, man. He's got a lot of job opportunities. I tell you, that phone's going to be ringing for a long time now that we're on nationally podcast. And we got to give the website. It's BACLocal8SE.com. .org, BACLocal8SE.org. We're talking about the bricklayers and allied craft workers. Glenn, we're going to have to set up another time. I love talking to you. You got a lot of energy, and I want to get into right to work because it's important that we get rid of right to work. But you're making it happen, even though it's a right to work state. So obviously, you got some fire in your belly, and we certainly appreciate that. So you take care, stay safe, and we'll talk down the road, all right?
You too, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate the opportunity, and all you all stay safe. And remember, right to work for less is not good. So if they're trying to push into your state, try to defeat it. Educate yourself.
You got it. Take care. Talk to you later.
You too, buddy.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk to John Nichols from The Nation and the latest from the North Coast Labor Federation. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.